Good morning. Last week, we began the sugya of Tol Dinner of Havireni. The case was a person had escaped from a group of bandits. He was running for his life. He comes to a river, and he does not know how to swim. Luckily, there was a ferry parked on the riverbank. He hops aboard the ferry, says, "Get me to the other side." The captain of the ferry, being an astute businessman, noticed his striped clothing, noticed that he was out of breath, and said, "No problem, I'll get you to the other side, but that will cost you $1,000. So halacha is that if you tell him, "No problem, deal," when he gets to the other side, you can say, "Mishat anibach." You can tell the captain, "I didn't mean it. You had no right to extort the $1,000 from me. A ferry ride is usually $10. And the halacha is, when you get to the other side, there's absolutely no obligation to pay for the full amount. You give him the regular fee, and that's it. Now, there's a machlokes rishonim how to understand this sugya. The Ritva and the Rama both learn the reason why you have the right to lie to the fellow and promise the captain $1,000 is because the captain has an obligation to help save your life. He has a chiyuv hashavas gufoy. Or, similarly, if you have a case where you're going to have a hefsid moment, the case that the Gemara deals with is you have a barrel of honey and it starts leaking out. Your friend next to you has an empty barrel. So if he tells you, so there he has an obligation to help take his barrel and catch your honey. If he refuses to do so, he doesn't want to do the mitzvah hashavas aveda unless you give him half the honey. So also, you can promise him the honey, and then afterwards you can say mishat anibach. Since he has a mitzvah, he has a chiv to do it, he doesn't have the right to try to extort extra money out of you, and you can tell him what you want, and afterwards you do not have to pay him. Now, based on this, the Ritva paskins that the same thing applies when you go to a doctor. A doctor has a chiv of hashavas of atzalas gufoy, and therefore, if he demands an extraordinarily high fee for his services, then you can promise it to him, and at the end, you don't have to pay him. He has a chiv to save you. And you can say, Mishat anibach. And the same thing is true. It says if you're by samamonim, if you're buying drugs, or any other case where there's a chiv hashavas aveda or hatzalas gufay. Now this... The regular rate, a doctor is allowed to charge schar batala and schar tercha, whatever that is. If he's charging above that, then you would run into, according to the Ritva, you'd run into this problem. Since he doesn't have if he's charging more than he's entitled to al pi halacha, so since he's not allowed to, you can say mishat anibach. But with the doctors again, we'll get to that in a moment. So you're saying there's no loss. So the smav, that's a good point. The smav over there, paskins, that if you do something professionally, and everyone who comes to the river, you charge him $10 to get across, the fact that someone's life is in danger, he says, doesn't mean you now have to charge him less than you charge everybody else. And therefore, the normal and customary fare you can charge, even though you happen to be saving his life. Now again, with the doctor bills, we'll get back to in a moment, it's not going to be quite as simple. Fair enough. There are other responsibilities. The responsibility with people's lives, on the other hand, is, along with the responsibility, comes the reward and the fact that it is a mitzvah. You have people. You have plenty of people do things that impact other people's lives and are happy to do it. But again, that's exactly how much a doctor can charge. That's really a topic for another day. But whatever he is entitled to al pi halacha, if he charges above that, that's where this sugya comes into play. Now this is the Shita of the Ritva and the Rama is quoted in the Shita Mekubetzes in Bava Kama Kuf Tezayin. The Ramban takes issue with this. And the Ramban says, it's true that being a doctor, there's a tremendous mitzvah and there's a chiyuv for a person. If you're able to help save someone, it's a tremendous mitzvah. On the other hand, is a doctor allowed to take a vacation? Yes. Why? There are many sick people out there. The answer is, there are also many doctors. And therefore, it's any given person can go to any number of doctors to be saved. Zog the Ramban, in such a case, although clearly refuah is a mitzvah, since it is not a chiyuv on any given person, you have a chiyuv to get up today and go save Yankel, because there are plenty of other doctors you can go to. The Ramban says, in such a case, there's no real chiyuv. In theory, you'd be able to charge for it. But Zog the Ramban, the reason why in these cases you can say Mishata Nibach is because he says any time you make a deal, Mikayach Doichik, you're under pressure, you're under duress, and you promise someone more than its value, afterwards you have the right to say Mishata Nibach. No. Hashavas Aveda is going to be different. But the Ramban is really making two points. He's arguing with the Ritva and saying, you know, based on this Svara and based on the Dimi to Chalitza, he's saying that this halacha of Mishata Nibach is not limited to when you have a chiyuv to go do it. Even in cases where you don't have an absolute chiyuv, still the concept of saying Mishata Nibach, I didn't mean it, applies. And therefore the Ramban says, whenever there's any amount of doichik, you're under pressure, you're under some amount of stress, and out of desperation, you promise someone a premium, after the job is done, you can say Mishata Nibach, and you don't have to pay. Now, the Ramban is broadening this concept. And according to the Ritva, it all applies only when there's a mitzvah that you have to do. So there, if you want to extort money, the person can say, I didn't mean it, Mishata Nibach, I'm not paying. The Ramban takes this much further. He says that in any case where there's a doichik, where you're under pressure, and because of that pressure, you agree, you say you're going to pay extra, after the job is done, you can say Mishata Nibach. All the time, it comes out. If you let's say you need your wife is nagging you to get the kitchen done. Now you call a contractor and you promise him a premium to get to redo your kitchen. Now the contractor is not saving your life. He's not, well, probably not at least. He's not a doctor. It's not Hashavas Aveda. He has no chiyuv to go redo your kitchen. On the other hand, arguably you are under severe stress. You're only agreeing to it mikayach adoichik. So according to the Ritva, we say, listen, we're very sorry, we feel very bad for you, you have shalom bias issues, you're under pressure, but it's not the contractor's problem. You promised him $50,000 to do the job, you're going to have to pay him. According to the Ramban, it is a ktitzik mikayach adoichik. You did it because you were under severe stress, and therefore, according to the Ramban, it would seem you can say Mishata Nibach. Now again, we'll get to the fine print, there are a lot of Tanaim, but according to the Ramban, very much extends this halacha. Now according to both the Ramban and the Ritva, you needed some sort of onus. The Ritva, you needed that the contractor had a chiyuv to do it. The Ramban said, whenever there's an onus, whenever there's an amount of stress, you have the right to say Mishata Nibach. That leads us to, I think, everyone's favorite question, and that is, where does a shadchan fall into the picture? Shadchan calls up, I have the perfect shidduch for your daughter, but it's going to cost you $10,000. Can you say Mishata Nibach? Can you say no problem? And then after the shidduch is done, after the chasana, tell them I'm not going to pay you. It's like this. The Ritva, let's take the shittas one by one. According to the Ritva, the only time you can say Mishata Nibach is in the case of a doctor. He has a chiyuv that someone's life is in danger. He is the person that can save him. He is a chiyuv of Hashavas Aveda, Hatzalas Gufoy. He has to do it. If he has to do it and he tries extortion, you say Mishata Nibach. Now clearly a shadchan has no obligation to go ahead and read the shidduch to your daughter. Called in the blue and said, I'm going to read you the shidduch if you pay me this amount of money. There's no written contract. We'll get to later if there's a contract, if you paid, that we'll get to later. But it's just a verbal agreement. So according to the Ritva, clearly there would be no Mishata Nibach. What about the Ramban? Anytime there's a doichik, there's some form of oinus, there you can say Mishata Nibach. So where does a shadchan fall into the picture? So Machan Ephraim in Tzchiros Simen Tezvav says, Shadchan, Shadchan's not an oinus, what's the big deal? Find another Shadchan, find another girl, find another boy. And if the Machan Ephraim says, Vayashadchen, it can't be. There's no concept of Meshat Anibach. And the Machaneh Ephraim clearly lived pre-Shidduch crisis. And the truth is, even the Machaneh Ephraim, at the end of the Siman, he seems to be Chozer, and he suggests that since there are many Maror Mekoyimos, there are many Rishonim that discuss Ashadchen, he says it must be that it is considered an oinus. And since it's an oinus, he's mitzaded that if you do offer them a large amount of money, perhaps you would be able to say Meshat Anibach. Now again, we'll get to later the Halach L'maisa. There are a number of Tanaim over here, but it is discussed in Rishonim. There are Rishonim that say, by a Shadchen, you can say Meshat Anibach if they ask for an unreasonable amount, you know, above its normal value. So it doesn't really make a difference, because in the case of Tol Dinner of Avireini, if Tol Dinner of Avireini sounds like the fugitive is telling the captain of the ship, take a dinner and get me across the river. So it doesn't make a difference. The point is, since this is above its value, you have the right to say Meshat Anibach.
Even though it's an honor that everybody has, that's still considered?
Correct. Now some Poskim say, and it shows the Shach Paskins, that the same halacha by a Shachin applies by a Sirser, by a broker. Now a broker, everyone agrees, is not an oinus. So some Poskim say that the concept of Meshat Anibach applies any time the person is asking for above its true value. If you make a commitment, you'll pay it. There's no contract, there's no kinyan, it's just verbal. You have the right afterwards to say Meshat Anibach. Now this needs explanation. What's going on? If we Bishleim, when your life is in danger, and you tell the person, I'll give you $1,000, get me across, I think there we can understand. You're allowed to say it to save your life. But simply because your wife is nagging you to redo the kitchen, or because you want to get the deal done and you want to, and this broker will be able to get you a good deal, why does that give you the right to promise the person $1,000, to make a commitment, and afterwards say, I'm just joking? What kind of halacha is this? How do you have the right to do such a thing? So the Nesivos explains, we mentioned it briefly last week, that to understand this, we really have to take a step back. Al pi halacha, when you have something that you're selling, whether it's an item, whether it's a service, there's an iser of oino. Charging someone above its fair market value is aser. Now it's true, because it's a bein adam l'chaveru, if the parties agree to waive the oino, they could. If I go over to you and I tell you, I'm going to sell you my car for $20,000, you know it's only worth $10,000, but take it or leave it, I'm nashe l'chalai oino. So the parties that want to waive oino, they can be meichel. You can do whatever you want with your money. You can waste it. You can spend it. Do what you want. Zakhni Nesivos, that's true when there's a mechila. I tell you, this is oino. This is the deal. And I get you to be meichel the oino. In a case where you're not meichel the oino, I just demand $1,000 to get you across the river. I demand $10,000 for the shidduch. I'm demanding an amount of money which is oino. And I don't get your mechila. There is Zakhni Nesivos. Since the moicher is doing shaloi kedin, he's trying to get money, which alpi halacha is, and he would be over an isaroino. So the buyer has the right to say, no problem, I'll give it to you. And afterwards say, Meshat Anibach. I didn't mean it, it's oino, and therefore I don't have to pay it. So therefore, even when no one's life is in danger, it's either just an oinus, or even according to some rishonim, without any oinus, the reason why you have the right to back out of this commitment is because the seller, the moicher, has no right to demand that kind of amount in the first place. That's true, because Meshat Anibach is, I didn't mean it, and in the absence of a kinyan, I'm not bound to it. Since over here, you have no right, even when the other person initiates it, if someone walks into your store, doesn't know what the value, and says, I'll give you $1,000 for this computer, and it's only worth $500. So even though it's the customer that's initiating and making the offer, you'll have the same hilchos oino, unless there's a clear mechila. Oino, in general, we don't look at what you care. Obviously, every time a person pays for something, assuming he's a bar das, he made a decision that it's worth to pay this amount for this item. Oino is, since this is not reflect the true market value, This is not what it's worth elsewhere. There you're going to be over Oyno, even though for him it's Kedai. Now there is a Ritva that we discussed way back in Kedushin Dav Ches, Ledidi Shavali, but that's a very specific case. What? So Zakh the Nesiva is like this. Normally, if I know it is when the item is worth $10, you charge $13, the parties don't realize there's I know. You don't realize after the deal, you can go ahead and you can demand the money back. By Ein Hadas Toya, the item is worth $1 and you ask for $100. There we learned there's a presumed mechila because everyone realizes what it is. Zakh the Nesivas, this is the exception. When there's makom to say mishat anibach, if I would go ahead and I would pay you, the deal's done already, and then I would come to bring you to Bez and say it's I want it back, alchuchas ayno, you can say there's a mechila already. But before I pay you, a mishat anibach is goofa saying I was never meichel, I never intended to pay you in the first place. So mishat anibach is defense that comes before you hit the mechila. That's true. That doesn't change Hilchos Ayno. Ayno is always, whenever a person's willing to pay, he's made a decision, it's worth $1,000. I'm willing to pay it. This computer to me is worth $1,000. But since the market value is $500, unless we have an explicit mechila, the seller was over Ayno by taking from you more than its market value. Price gouging. Wine and matzah before Pesach. What? Okay, Dina de Malchus Dina is really beyond the scope of this year. There is such a concept. We do find in halacha as well that when you're dealing with basic staples in Eretz Yisrael, the halacha imposes certain price controls. But that's a very limited cases with places where Rav Yisrael. It's very, very limited, and it's really, we can't address it in this year.
What happens like two different shards? Like the rich people who do $10,000?
Oh, excellent. We'll get to that. We'll make a difference, and we'll get, again, before anyone runs out and sifts their shadchan, let's wait till the end of this year. Fine, good. Hold on. Fine. We'll get back to it. So we have, again, just to summarize, we have three basic shitas. According to the Ramban and the Ritva, you need either a mitzvah or a real oinus in order to be able to claim a shat and yibach. Otherwise, you're stuck paying. Other rishonim are mashma that you can always say mishat anibach as long as what's being asked is above its fair value. At the end of the day, when after the deal is done, you could say mishat anibach. No, I didn't say that. I said government law will be dinin malchus dina, and that's something that we'd have to address in a different year. It's not a one word answer. Now, before anyone goes ahead and actually does this, there's a lot of fine print with this halacha. And there are many limitations, and in practice, this does not happen all that often. The first is that this whole concept is based on mishat anibach. That there's no kinyan, there's no contract, nothing was really done, it's just a verbal commitment. A verbal commitment under duress to pay an exorbitant amount, you can say, I wasn't sincere, I'm backing out. If you've already paid, this argument will not hold water. Because the moment you pay, you can't say, I didn't mean it. What do you mean you didn't mean it? You paid. It's only an argument before the fact. Not only is it true that when you paid, you lose this taina, if you make a kinyan, if you would sign a contract that I'm going to pay this amount, the entire concept of mishat anibach does not apply. Mishat anibach is, I just gave you my word. I gave you my word because I was stuck and you were asking something crazy. I didn't mean it and I figured I'll renegotiate afterwards. Once I make a kinyan, I do something which locks myself in, I sign a contract, I can't say I wasn't sincere. Contracts are binding whether you're sincere or not. The very fact that you sign the contract is something that binds you, and therefore this would not apply. It's limited to cases of, again, a shatran where it's verbal. So if any of you drive a ferry for a living, and someone comes, you know, runs across the ship all out of breath, needs to get to the other side, make sure COD. Collect the money before you actually leave the port. Speak to the attorneys behind you. When you sign a contract, it's not just, you know, you're under duress, but you're under duress, but you can't say I was kidding, because kidding doesn't help with contracts. Excellent, because Sliras Poilim is the one case. If you hire a worker, you don't need to make a kinyan. If you hire someone to paint your house, he paints your house. You can't tell him, oh, you know what? No kinyan, goodbye. A verbal agreement is enough for a worker, but what we're seeing from this halacha is that it's limited to cases where he's asking the fair market value. If he's asking above it, so then you run into Meshatin Yibach. Now, again, according to some shittas, that's only when there's an oinus, but according to others, even without an oinus, because he's asking for more than the value, and there was no contract, then you're not bound to what was said. Yes. So we did in Hilchos Oinah, there was a difference between a payel and a koblin. An independent contractor is subject to Hilchos Oinah. A payel who's on a salaried worker may not be. Again, more than double even there would be Oinah, but the Nesivos does make that distinction. It will depend on the type of service. Now the truth is... Excuse me? If you could, in theory, you could say asmachta lekayin. You could, an asmachta which is written in a contract would still be an asmachta. But this is not an asmachta. Asmachta is always when I don't know what will be done. When I'm telling you, when I'm willing to pay you a certain amount. Hey, whose phone is this? If I'm willing to pay you a certain amount for an item, that's not an asmachta. It might be mishata nibach, but it's not an asmachta. There's nothing unknown. Now, the truth is this halacha, that if you make a kinyan, you're locked in. The Nesiva says that it really depends on the case. If you make a contract with a contractor who's redoing your kitchen, so he may be asking an unreasonable amount, that you may be under arrest, maybe not be, but once you make a kinyan, there's no mashat anibach, and you're going to have to pay the full amount. On the other hand, if you're dealing with a doctor, if a person's life is in danger, or in a case where the person has a chiyuv al tashavas aveda to do it, there the Nesiva says even a kinyan will not help. Because even a kinyan, he has no right to demand more than whatever his schar batala is. And even with a kinyan, he cannot demand it. Now, excuse me? Can you say Mishat Anibach to Hegdish?
Yeah.
What, the stock is selling something to you?
Let's say I want to make installation to a shul or whatever it is. The guy needs it, he's going to give this money to somebody or whatever it is.
No, so one of the problem over here is that if you're dealing with an Ani, it's probably, and it's actually by Shadchanim, they talk about this, that if you're dealing with an Ani, then it's probably Neder Litztaka. You know, when we, in his Chiras Poilim and in Mechus Ramana, we went through it a little bit more by Richa, some of the Pratim, but conceptually it may be different.
Are we suggesting with the contract that not might not apply in anything? I mean, just like the person signed the contract and agrees to it.
No. This is only the argument of Meshat and Yibach.
That's why I'm lying.
No. It's like this. The way that Nesivos explains is like this. If the service is worth $10,000 and the person charges you $15,000, you didn't realize there was Aino. Even if you sign the contract, even if you paid, you can afterwards claim Aino. Again, subject to the limitations of Aino, that we discussed a few months ago. In a case where it's worth $10,000, they ask you for $50,000. Normally, Aino does not apply. Because if you pay the $50,000 knowing it's worth $10,000, that's in Hadas Toya, and that's a presumed Mechila. But the Mechila is when you actually pay it. If you haven't paid it, you haven't made a Kenyan, you just made a verbal commitment, you can say, I knew it was Aino, and therefore Meshat Anibach. But once you've paid it, if it was that kind of amount, then you're going to lose that argument. Now, there are another three important conditions and limitations to this halacha. The first is the Ktzais and the Machne Ephraim, and the truth is the Arzaruin, Bavakamo, Tafnun Zayin, also is mitzadah like this. This whole halacha is that when you made the commitment, you're running for your life. The captain of the ferry wants $1,000. You need to get to the other side. So you tell him, no problem, I'll pay you, and you have absolutely no intention of paying, Meshat Anibach. However, what happened, I don't know if anyone here is an escaped convict, But if any of you recently ran away from jail, you ran across the ferry, you offered $1,000, and you were thinking at the time, okay, my word's a word, I'm going to pay the $1,000. You show up to a shir, and you find out, wonderful, mishatani bach. So you call the fellow up, and you say, you know what, I just changed my mind, mishatani bach, I don't have to pay you. Zaktik tzayis, nothing doing. Because the whole argument here is that when I hired the worker, I didn't mean to pay him the $1,000, I meant to pay him the fair market value. So although normally I'm bound to my word, when he's being ma'an in me, it's oinon, there's no kinyan, I can say yes even though I don't mean it. But if at the time I hired him, I intended to pay him, I was sincere about it, and it was only afterwards I heard a shir, I went to a tayin, I got why, you know, my attorney told me not to pay it, there the tzayi says, your word's a word, once he did the services, you're going to have to pay him for the job. Now another limitation, and this comes from Tosfos and the Ramah passings like this as well, is that this applies only when there's a fair market value for a service. You took the ferry across the river, ferry rides cost $10, so therefore the halacha is if he asks for $1,000, you can say Mishat Anibach. However, Zuck the Arzaru and the Mordechai, when you're dealing with the Shadchan, it could be there's a standard rate that most shadchanim charge. On the other hand, there are some shadchanim that charge a premium. There are some shadchanim that are more discreet than others. Other shadchanim are more influential. They'll do a better job getting this shidduch pushed through. The Ramban uses this example by a doctor. The chacham of refuah is something which people have certain expertise, and people are willing to pay premiums because in this situation, I need this doctor. In this situation, I need this shadchan. And therefore, Zach, Mordechai, the Arzaruah, and Taisvis, they all say this svara, that in such a case where you're providing a unique service, where people pay a premium because if they feel that's what they need, this whole halacha will not apply. Because, as the Nesivis explained, it's not I know anymore. This is its value. People will, so what will come out is, even if there's a going rate, a typical shadchan charges $1,000, $2,000, whatever it is, if you have specialty shadchan, or you have people who, when there are a special needs or there's a unique situation, they pay a premium, they'll pay $5,000, $10,000 to get a shidduch done. So then, if you make that offer, if that's what the shadchan demands, there will not be any mishatani bach, because this is something that people pay a premium for, and the Nesivos explains it's a davar she'ein l'kitzvah, and therefore the concept of mishata does not apply. Mishata is when you're asking for something an unconscionable amount that doesn't make sense. Once there is a market where people do pay these kinds of rates, there the whole argument of mishatani bach falls away. Now the last exception really comes from the Gemara, and as the Gemara says, the case of the ferry, person sitting there with a boat, the convict comes running, jumps onto the boat, says, get me to the other side. So there, as with all Hashavas Aveda, if you can help save someone, you have an obligation to do it without charging him, and certainly without charging him more than the customary fare. What happens, on the other hand, if this person's a fisherman? And he was ready to go outside and start fishing for the day. If you ask him to start smuggling you down river someplace else, he's going to lose out on all the fish. So what's the halacha? Does he have the right to charge you for ferrying him to the other side? Now, ferrying would cost $10. On the other hand, the fisherman saying that I'm going to lose a lot more than $10. And therefore, he demands $1,000. What's the halacha? So here, it's very clear. Let's assume the fisherman on a typical day catches $300 worth of fish. Every once in a while, he has a phenomenally good day. He catches $800 worth of fish. He demands from the fugitive $1,000. How much does the fugitive have to pay? So clearly, the $300 that he loses, that he's going to lose, that he's not going to be able to go fishing, that everyone agrees he has to pay. Although a ferry ride is only worth $10, it's true. But if you're going to ask a fisherman to become a ferry, you're causing him a loss. If you're causing him a loss, he has every right to say, I'm going to save your life. I'll do Hashavas Aveda, but you have to reimburse me for my costs. So certainly the $300 that he would lose, he would have to pay. What? It may be a grumba, but he's not coming out as mazik. What he's telling him is, I don't have a chiyuv of hashavas aveda if you're going to cause me a loss and you don't want to pay for it. So if you're able to pay for it, I can demand, cover my expenses, and then I'll go ahead and I'll help you. Now, obviously, if the person's life is in danger and he can't afford to pay, that might be different. But in a regular hashavas aveda of mamon, or even by hashavas aveda of gufa, where he can afford to pay you for your hefsedim, you certainly can demand payment. What happens if a fisherman says, listen, it's true on a typical day I catch $300 worth of fish. But on a good day, I catch $800. I don't want to give up the opportunity to catch the $800 just to save you. So here, most poskim say that he's right. It does not have to be a hefsed borer. He doesn't have to prove that had I not taken you across, had I not saved you, I would have lost this amount of money. It just has to be an amount that he may have lost. It could have happened. Even though it's not typically what happens on your average day. But since he may have lost, he has the right to say, I don't want to do the mitzvah unless you indemnify me, you cover and pay me anything that I may have lost. And this is the shita of most poskim. The Ksais, as a chumri even weiter, he says, once there's any amount of hefzid, he says, Magaglan of Zakah. You can charge him whatever you want. You're not bound to anything. He's medava talach of zenev zele chaser, where once there's any chasarin, you can hit him for anything. And the Ktzais has such a chiddush. Now, the Maisa, most places can do hold. Not like that. The Marsham says that you can say kimli. In most cases, the fugitive is the mukhzik, and therefore you would not have to pay more than what he may have lost. Okay, that's true. If there is a developed shar for this kind of service, then in Achanami, what you have to be careful with is the minchas shai has a tshuva where you hired a broker to sell something for you, but part of instructions were he has to lie to his clients. He had to cover up the defect. Now, because he was providing a service like that, he had to pay. The normal broker took 6%. To get a zas swindle job, he had to pay 20%. So the broker did the swindle job, and then he got swindled by the swindler. By the person refused to pay. He said the normal rate is 6%. Mishatani bach. So the halachi says, okay, good. Mishatani bach is a good taina. But then he said, but if it's rogel, if it's something which people pay premium for, so then he has the right. So for something like smuggling, people pay a premium for. Milchashai says, it's a chiddush, but he says that no. The hope, if there's a normal price for it, you're just going to create a minhag, like by a doctor or a specialty like a shadchan. You're going to tell me there's a minhag to pay more. Good, there's such a minhag. But if it's something which is done be'isr, he says you can't make a minhag out of it, and therefore he's not entitled to anything more than the 6%. Okay, that's true. That's true. If there isn't. Okay, that really brings up a bit of a separate question. There's a fascinating sefer. Just briefly, there's an amazing story behind the sefer. There was a very well-known rav in Eretz Yisrael. He was very prominent. He was actually a member of the Knesset. And his kidneys failed. He needed dialysis, and he really needed a kidney transplant. However, this rav felt he had been involved there in Eretz Yisrael and in many places. There were all sorts of controversies about brain death, about harvesting organs, and all sorts of issues. And he had always been fighting to follow the halacha, and you can't kill people to save, to harvest the organs. And he felt that if he would put his name on for an organ transplant, it would be a chilul Hashem. People would say that on one hand you're preventing people from being donors, on the other hand, when you need it, you're happy to take it. So his machlit, he's not taking a transplant. He'll be on dialysis. Someone suggested that he go. There are certain countries where it seems where you can buy a kidney. But also he felt it was a little too borderline, you know, legally, didn't want to do it. What ultimately happened is that one of his sons convinced him that he was willing to donate his kidney. They tested him. It turns out it was a perfect match. When his brothers found out about it, they got tested, and it turns out that all five of this Rav's sons were perfect matches. So they had a major fight broke out over who has the schus to donate the kidney. The Bukhar, the first person said, listen, I'm the one that convinced our father to take it to, you know, he didn't want to take a transplant for us. I convinced him to do it. I'm Ani Mahap Bukharara. I started it. I have the right to do it. The oldest son said, no, I'm the Bukhar. The Bukhar takes Pishnaya. The Bukhar has Kedima. And therefore, I have the right to do it. The youngest child wasn't married. He said, I should do it because I'm impacting the least amount of people. And the five sons, they each had reasons. They each had their tainas. It went to a din Torah. The psak at the end, I believe, was they made a goyrel between the son that initiated it and the Bukhar. The goyrel was between the two of them. The Bukhar won, and he donated the kidney. Baruch Hashem, the transplant was successful. So when he recovered, they made a Seudas Hayudah. And at the Seudas Hayudah, they printed an entire sefer about this shaila. And the din Torah, all the back and forth about who has kedima. But part of his ish, part of, you know, once if you're printing a whole sefer on one story, you have to be a little bit creative. So one of the things that he goes into is, what happens if you promise a person, I'll give you $200,000 for a kidney? Gives the kidney. After the fact, do you have to pay? So again, putting aside all the legal and moral issues, the question is there a kind of mishnat anibach? So really, this sounds like a case of a reife. A doctor that saves someone's life and demands an exorbitant amount of money. So there, everyone agreed you can say mishat anibach. But the problem is, over there, a doctor has an obligation to help save someone's life. Does a person have a chiyuv to donate his kidney? Pashtus not. To give up a chelik of your guf, it's certainly it's a mitzvah. Again, this is not halacha l'maisa, but it's something which, according to most paiskim, there's no chiyuv to do it. If you don't have a chiyuv to do it, even though if you do it, it's a mitzvah, you certainly don't have the tain of the ritzvah, and therefore, at least according to the ritzvah, you would not be able to say mishat inibach. On the other hand, it certainly is an oinus. Certainly is a shas hadchak. And therefore, according to the other shitas, it was definitely done under duress. If there is a going rate for a kidney in these countries, and you're asking for above that, then conceptually there would be this tain of mishat inibach, since it's, you know, it's like, no, I don't know how to deal with like no on kidneys, or it leads into a host of other questions. But that is the point that he brings out. When you have something where there's a danger, where there's no chiv to do it in the first place, so then the argument of mitzvah falls away.
The likelihood that they did it
without
taking payment first is highly unlikely.
That is very true. I don't know the medical facts well enough to say anything about that. But either way, I think everyone agrees there's no chiyuv for a person to go ahead and to do it. And therefore, if you need the ritzvah, if you need that there's a chiyuv, you certainly don't have it. If you need the fact that it was under duress, that it certainly is. And therefore, according to the other poskim, there would be a tain of mishat anibach. Good. So that's actually a very good question. It's actually a very good question, because some of the discussion, the Ritva talks about, and I mentioned it briefly, about when you're overcharging someone for medication. When you're overcharging for medication, you're actually making a kinyan. So the Tzais, because of this argument, says this halacha doesn't apply. And since you're doing a kinyan there, everyone agrees there's no mishat anibach by medication. So you can fool the doctor on his wages, there's no kinyan, but if he gives you medicine, that you have to pay the full amount. The Ritva argues, you know, the other Achrayim have different suggestions. We're not going to go into that now, but it is a good point. Now, this is all the concept of Toldin of Avireini. This is all a case where there was an oinus. The person cut a deal out of desperation. But this oinus was an external oinus. The captain is not the person who caused this fugitive to be running for his life. He escaped from jail, from the bandits, whatever it is. He was in a situation of an oinus, and someone else exploited that oinus. The next area that we have to discuss is what happens when you create the oinus and you're benefiting. And the classic case of this is Tal Yuhuv Yohav, Tal Yuhuv Zavin. You're walking down the street late one night, and a big, burly young gentleman confronts you. And he tells you, he notices your phone, your cell phone, your iPad, and says he would very much like to get that as a present. being that he's holding a semi-automatic weapon, you say you hand it to him. Now this fellow is, besides being big, burly, and holding a weapon, seems to be a lamdin as well. He says, I want you to say roitza ani, I'm giving it belev shalev. So, you wisely oblige, and you give them here, it's yours, it's a present for me, you autograph it for me, you know, with love. Later that day, you call the police, you come back, you catch the fellow, and you say, can I have it back? He says, have it back? It was a gift. What is the halacha? So I think everyone in the room can basically assume halacha is nothing doing. You may have said it's a gift, you may have handed it to him, you may have even written something for him, but it was clearly given under duress, it was under pressure, he forced you to do it. The fact that you said I'm giving it means absolutely nothing. And I think that's pretty simple, intuitive, and everyone can understand that. However, there are many cases where a person can be forced and coerced into doing something, where after the fact, it's not so easy for him to back out. Now the first is the Gemara that we had this morning, the Maran Mekaymas, the Gemara, the Mishnah and Gittin, that lokach min ha-sikrikin, if you bought from a sikrikin were a bunch of bandits in the time of the Churban Bayis, the halacha is that if a person was his life was in danger, he was going to be killed, and in order to save himself, he slipped the sikrikin a couple of, you know, he actually gave him karka, so I don't know exactly how you slip a bribe like that, but instead of getting killed, he deeded over his property to these bandits. Someone else went ahead and bought it from the bandit. The halacha is, it's his. He keeps it. Now this leads us to a basic problem. The fellow, the big burly young man who met you in the alley and relieves you of your cell phone, once you caught up with him, you have the right to demand it back. So the sikrikun, who you gave away your house to save your life, why is that any different? And what gives them the right to this property?
Something called Yish. The Kadi knew the Dani knew that only at that time you were in danger. As soon as you're free from the Dani, there was
excellent.
The police, you get it back. But in the case of the property bandits, there was a law, there was the government, but it was either neglectful or they had to support the bandits.
Excellent, excellent. So the Beis Yosef says, brings down, at least according to the Nesivos, brings down two terutzim. The second terutz, actually we'll say first, is he says it depends what happened. This, in the case of the alley, the big young man met you and said, I want that phone. If you don't give me that phone, he shows you his weapon. So there the onus was to give me this thing. If someone is ma'anis you to give away something as a present, that is known as gezeilah. And if and when you can bring him to justice, you have every right to recover what you gave him. In contrast, the Beis Yosef learns, in the case of the Sikrikun, no one was after your house. The Sikrikun wanted to kill the Yid. As a way to redeem himself, as a way to save his life, he basically said, let me go free, sell me my freedom for the house. There, the Beis Yosef explains, since the onus was not in the house, the onus was on the nefesh, you then voluntarily, if you will, gave up your house in order to save your life. The onus wasn't on the item, the onus was on you. There, the Nesiva says that once you give it away, it's done and you cannot recover it. Based on this, the Torah is getting paskins, and again, this is not how long there's much of the discussion of Hilchos Onus comes from Sugyos in Gittin. If a bunch of people beat up on a person, and in order to save himself, he says, I will give a get to my wife, in a case where Alpidini is not in Bezin, can't be kai for him. So it would seem, according to the Nesivos, the get is a good get. Because although he was nanas, although he's being forced, since if they come and they force him, either give a get or we're going to kill you. So that's an onus on the get, and that the get is nothing. On the other hand, if they're standing out to kill him for some reason, by him volunteering a get, he will escape with his life. There, the Nesiva says that would not be an onus, and that would be binding. That's one tarot to the Beis Yosef. The Chazon Ish says, and the Beis Yosef has another tarot, which the Chazon Ish says is the Iker tarot, and that is as exactly what you said. In the case of a young man stealing your phone, it's true right now, it's 12 o'clock at night, he's holding a weapon, it's dark, you have no choice but to give it to him. But you're hopeful one day you call the police, then your chances aren't good, but it's possible you will recover. In the case of the Sikrikun, what happened is the country was in ruins, the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Klal Yisrael were being hunted down. Anyone there, people had no dream or no hope of ever even surviving. They didn't expect to survive. If they survived, they certainly didn't expect to ever be able to come back and recover their fields to recover their houses. In such a case, where the whole country has been sacked and there's total yish, there we say, agav oinsei gamaru makni. There you meant it seriously, and there once you did it, you cannot back out. But in a normal case, a typical mugging, even though your chances, even though, you know, most usually more often than not, the police will not find the fellow, it's not the same level, it's not the same degree of yush, and therefore if you just give away a present, you'd have the right to recover. Okay, good. There's a lot more about this. We'll have to talk about what happens if you're forced into a sale, a lot of other things, but we're out of time for today.